This episode contains adult themes and is not appropriate for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, the world. This is They Will Kill, a true crime podcast. I'm Sadie Eck.
And I am Courtney Eck.
And we are happy to be with you tonight.
Yeah, hell yeah. Couldn't be happier about it. We love you guys, and
yep.
You look really nice tonight. Looks so
totally
good.
Love the way you did your hair. Mm-hmm. It's Courtney's night, and she's going to tell us the story of...
the despicable, unbelievably tragic, and devastating murder of Sophie Leonet. This one is a wild-ass ride. Do you know this?
No, but what a beautiful name.
What a beautiful name, what a beautiful person, and what a...
damn it.
Fucked up case, you guys. Here we go. No. So Sabrina Coutier was born in Algeria in 1983 and immigrated with her family to Paris when she was a child. When she was 18, she met a 23-year-old man named Osim Madouni, who went by Sam, and he was also of Algerian descent, and they started a relationship. In 2005, the couple moved to London, and glamorous Sabrina tried to launch a career as a stylist, fashion designer, and songwriter.
No troubles there.
Yeah. Easy. I mean, she, you know, you'll see pictures of her and she is gorgeous. She's very stylish, very beautiful. I mean, definitely the type that could walk into that environment and get people to jump on board with whatever she was doing. I don't know if she was actually talented, but she certainly looked the part. Sabrina and Sam had a bumpy relationship, and in 2011, the couple was taking a break. And during that time, Sabrina spotted a man named Mark Walton while in line at the bank. Mark Walton was a founding member of the boy band Boyzone, which I do believe was an Irish boy band.
Boyzone.
Every time I see the name, because it's all one word, I think I kept wanting to call them Boyzone-y, but it's Boyzone. He was managing a musical group called Blue, and he had also worked with Lady Gaga, Enrique Iglesias, J-Lo, and other very well-known musicians. Needless to say, he had done very well for himself. Sabrina asked the bank manager who Mark was, and Mark did the same thing, and so The bank manager set up the two, and they started messaging each other. The two agreed to meet up at a bar, and Mark headed to the bar thinking he was going on a date with Sabrina, but when he arrived, there were already 11 other men there.
What?
Turns out, Sabrina had invited all of them there to pitch a pyramid scheme that she was involved with.
Oh, no.
And most of them were like, peace, I'm out, you weirdo.
Wow. That... I mean, I've been on some really shitty first dates, but never have I been pyramid schemed.
Right? Can you imagine?
That's amazing.
It's amazing. No. You use your like wily good looks to lure these men to a bar to like get them to join your pyramid scheme.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. Mark Walton did stick around though, and he actually invested in the scheme.
No, he didn't.
Yes.
Wow.
She's hot, dude. She's a very beautiful woman, so... there you go. Sabrina initially claimed that it was only £225 to sign up, but it had actually been £800 to sign up, plus additional fees, plus monthly fees.
Whoa. Sounds like a good plan.
We're off to a good start. So luckily, Mark was rich, so didn't mind throwing some money at a pyramid scheme to be able to spend time with Sabrina, and the investment actually paid off in the romance department.
Ooh, I bet. She's like, yeah, be part of my upline, if you know what I mean.
Nice. God, I love an MLM sex pun. The two got very close, started spending tons of time together talking on the phone and in person, and Sabrina eventually started opening up to Mark about her troubled past. She claimed she'd suffer from abuse her entire life, and two of her uncles had raped her when she was younger. And so Mark adopted a bit of a protector-savior role with his new love interest. Sabrina was totally smitten with Mark and enjoyed his glamorous life and celebrity connections. So 5 or so months after meeting, Mark moved into Sabrina's home and started paying her £2,000 a month for rent. Once Mark had moved into Sabrina's home, a different side of the sophisticated, soft-spoken woman started to emerge, and Mark claimed she started having violent outbursts. Mm. I mean, any romance that starts with a fishing MLM. Expedition yeah. for a pyramid scheme is probably not going to head in a super strong direction, but
no.
nobody deserves violence. He claimed that one time she woke him up by punching him in the face because he'd been snoring.
Yep. Oh, no.
Yep. And on another occasion, she threw an ashtray at his head during an argument. Sabrina also had a child from a previous relationship, and the couple went through 4 full-time nannies in a very short amount of time because Sabrina couldn't stop accusing Mark of cheating on her with them. Sabrina posted cameras throughout their house to try to catch Mark engaging in inappropriate behavior with the nannies, but never saw anything that would lead her to believe he was being unfaithful. Mark stuck by Sabrina's side, justifying her wild outbursts with the fact that she'd been so badly abused, and 14 months into their relationship, Sabrina found out that she was pregnant. Mark was beside himself with happiness, and a couple of months later, Sabrina had to travel to France to help out her mother, and a while after she left, she called Mark to announce that she'd had a miscarriage and they were no longer expecting a child. I couldn't corroborate this part. I heard about this on a video, but knowing what I know about Sabrina, I believe that this happened, but I didn't get the details of this the next part of the conversation, but... So Mark was absolutely devastated, understandably, mm-hmm. and called Sabrina's brother to process the loss. And imagine his surprise when Sabrina's brother announced that not only had they not lost the baby, but the baby had been born and was alive and well.
What?
Yeah.
How long was she there?
I think a few months. But she was, I think she was pretty far along in her pregnancy when she went to France in the first place. So I,
crazy.
Again, yeah, I didn't find an article to back that up. I found articles to back everything else up, but
yeah,
regardless of whether or not she faked a miscarriage while she had the baby, she's a fucking bizarro lady. You'll get to understand that as we go, but regardless, they had a child. So Sabrina has 2 children, one of them with Mark. Apparently, Mark was like, LOL, what a wacky joke, and continued to stay in the relationship with Sabrina, mm-hmm. despite the fact that she was an abusive liar and manipulator who lied about babies dying. Yeah. Allegedly. Yeah.
Right.
In August of 2013, Mark put down a deposit on a flat, plus the first several months' rent for Sabrina and their baby to live in while he went to live in LA to work. Once Mark was in LA, Sabrina was like, thanks for the free flat, and basically ghosted her boyfriend and the father of her child. During this time, Mark started to question whether or not the baby was actually his and made the decision to cut Sabrina off financially to try to salvage what was left of his dignity.
Mm-hmm. Usually people that are so paranoid about their partner cheating no reason are the cheater, right?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. And I don't know about her relationship with Mark, but you'll find out later that, yes, she definitely cheats on her partners. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Sabrina wasn't stoked about being cut off, so to retaliate, she started calling all of Mark's celebrity clients to report that Mark was a pedophile.
Oh, God.
And, yeah, I cannot even imagine. It's like, it's such a lose-lose because then you're put in a position so that if the person, the celebrity or their agent even contacts you to verify the information, then you have to say that your ex-girlfriend is crazy,
right?
Which is also a horrible red flag, right?
Yeah. To be in the defensive, like defend that is impossible.
It's impossible.
Right. Yeah. No, total lose-lose.
And even if they believe you, they know you well enough to believe you, you're still associated with somebody who's calling people to say that you're a pedophile. So that's sketchy in and of itself. It's like, do I want to do business with somebody who's associated with somebody who's this volatile, right?
Yeah, no. The answer is no.
Yeah. Lose, 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 lose. So She also filed around 30 police reports against him, despite the fact that he was in Los Angeles, that stated that he was in a black magic pedophile ring and had been sexually abusing her cat, but left out the important detail that she didn't actually own a cat and never had.
Oh my God. What is happening?
She's so off the fucking rails.
Wow.
Beyond. Yep. So without Mark around to be her punching bag, Sabrina started lashing out at everyone around her and started having very public outbursts, which became infamous in the upscale neighborhood that she lived in.
Her poor kids.
Yeah. The owner of the local news agent, which is like a convenience store, which was located right across the street from Sabrina, said he'd witnessed her outbursts firsthand. He said that on one occasion, she'd come in for some groceries and realized she'd forgotten her wallet and so had no way to pay for her things. He said that rather than apologizing and running back across the street to grab some money, she instead lost her mind and started screaming at him as if it was somehow his fault. Mm-hmm. Her rage escalated to the point that she called the police on him. And when the police showed up, they had to escort Sabrina out of the shop because she was being so belligerent and was so in the wrong.
Wow. I mean, she needs to get on some medication.
Yeah, at a minimum. At a minimum. But that would certainly go a long way, I'm sure. Yeah. Neighbors, and also her claims about her uncle's abuse were lies. Those were never verified. Yeah. I mean, clearly something happened to this woman, whether or not it was her uncle's or whoever, but nobody ever verified, was able to confirm that anybody had raped her as a child or abused her, but clearly somebody has, right?
Right.
So neighbors said that aside from her strange outbursts, she was generally annoying and antisocial and would do things like leave her garbage on the street, would park in front of neighbors' driveways so they couldn't get in or out of their driveways, and was known to pay her rent late. So once the gravy train had officially shut off, Sabrina ran back into the arms of Sam, and in 2016, he moved into the flat that Mark had secured for them, well, for Sabrina. Mm-hmm. Sam was working as a financial analyst at the time, so made plenty of money to support Sabrina and her children. Despite Sabrina being an all-around awful person and the fact that she repeatedly cheated on and left Sam for other men, he basically worshipped the ground she walked on and was very submissive in the relationship. Mm. Quote, although the couple was joined by a traditional Muslim marriage certificate, Coutier openly flouted the relationship, referring to Madhuni as a relative or friend publicly while dating other men, which is like, ugh. That sucks.
Yeah.
And even though Sabrina had gotten back together with Sam, she still clearly had an unhealthy preoccupation with Mark and obsessively tried to check in on him and gather information about him. There were even reports that she brought printed out photos of him down to the stores in town to ask strangers if they'd seen him anywhere.
She's just
unhinged, completely fucking unhinged. She told these people that if they spotted him at any point, they needed to call police immediately because he'd been breaking into her home to abuse her children and steal her boyfriend's semen.
What?
Sadie, it just continues to get fucking weirder. Yes.
My jaw is it's open. It's on the floor. What is happening?
Yeah.
She doesn't give any F's.
She is just very mentally broken person. Yes. All I can think of. Extremely delusional.
It's like just no hold. Like just doing it. Going for it. Yeah. All of the most terrible things you can think of.
Yeah.
All at once. Like,
yeah. And my guess is she's French, right? She speaks with a French accent. And she's very beautiful and very glamorous. So I assume everybody just thought she was an eccentric, fiery French Algerian, just she's a real firecracker. Right. And, we all know those people who come in and they're talking wildly and just saying wild things. And you're oh, so eccentric, Right. Yeah, but she's fucking dangerous as F. So life went on despite Sabrina's very strange obsession with hurting Mark, and in 2016, she and Sam decided to hire an au pair to help out with the two children. Au pairs generally come from other countries, and it's generally a win-win for the au pairs and the families because it's an easy way for au pairs to travel to a new country, and it's more affordable for the families because they offer room and board and less pay. Generally, they just pay a little extra spending money, but not a full salary. Mm-hmm. These positions are rarely regulated or protected in the UK, and it's mostly left up to the families and the au pairs or their agencies to negotiate the terms of the stay, and most au pairs in the UK make around £90 per week. Despite the fact that au pairs aren't official employees in the countries they work in, they're still expected to pay taxes on the wages they earn, so they don't end up making much money, and they always run the risk of being mistreated by the families they sign up to help.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Right? And I don't know how they connected. I don't get the sense that Sophie went through an agency, but anybody considering doing this, which I encourage people to do, I've had a lot of friends and family members who have been au pairs and had wonderful experiences, but please go through a licensed agency to do this. You need to be protected. So Sabrina and Sam hired 21-year-old Sophie Leonet to come care for their children. Sophie was born in northeast France on January 7th, 1996. She was described as quiet and gentle and was extremely close to her parents and stepfather. She loved creative pursuits like playing guitar and reading, and also enjoyed ice skating and was passionate about causes that fought against animal cruelty. She was also very passionate about working with children and was thrilled for the opportunity to work in London because she was also working to improve her English language skills. Sophie moved to London in January to live with Sabrina and Sam and help take care of the children in exchange for room and board and £63 per month. At first, the family got along extremely well with Sophie, and neighbors also reported that Sophie and the children absolutely adored each other. Neighbors said that Sophie was shy and humble and very likable, and one neighbor said, quote, "She was an angel. She was so good with the children and had a lovely face." She was kind and quite shy, and with the children, she set up a mini shop on the side of the street selling sweets and biscuits. She's such a beauty. You can just tell she's like, just loves animals, just a sweet, shy girl, and truly gorgeous, like a true French beauty, but, you know, in a kind of meek, mild way. There were quite a few other nannies working in the neighborhood, so Sophie quickly made friends with them, and her mother said she sounded very happy with her new life in London. She said that Sabrina and Sophie spent a lot of time together, having tea and chats, and that Sabrina even gave Sophie a makeover using her skills as a stylist. Unfortunately, this didn't last. Over the next few months, Sabrina started becoming much more demanding of Sophie and required her to work 80 hours a week. People who knew the family confirmed that over time, they never saw Sam or Sabrina with the children, and Sophie was the only person they ever encountered running all of the errands the children required. The owner of the shop across the street said that she would come in twice a day to pick up groceries and other items for the family, and people in the neighborhood reported that Sophie lost a ton of weight over time.
Oh no, they weren't feeding her?
Get ready, Sadie.
Oh, Courtney.
The owner of the local fish and chip shop asked Sophie if everything was okay, saying, quote, "Her body language showed that there was something wrong. Once she said Sabrina beat her. I asked why. She said she had dropped the butter."
Oh, no.
Yep. Here we go. So what no one fully understood was that in the home, things had gotten very, very hard for Sophie, and Sabrina had started abusing the young nanny and accusing her of having an affair with Mark Walton, Sabrina's ex, who had been living in Los Angeles and had nothing to do with her for around 3 years at that point.
Oh, no.
Sophie and Mark had never lived in the same country at the same time, let alone heard each other's names.
Right.
But Sabrina had become convinced that they were carrying on an illicit affair behind her back.
Oh, God, what do you do with that? She's all alone. She has no money.
Yep. She barely speaks the language.
You've got this crazy person you're working for.
Yep.
Talking about somebody you've never met.
Yeah.
Like, what do?
You're sweet. You're shy. You're 21 years old. Yes. You're 21. Like, my Courtney, I get 21. I would have just remained in servitude rather than like confront somebody 100%. It's just so scary in a whole new country away from your family. And this is like, it happened very quickly. She was with them, I think, in total like 14 months. So, So to punish Sophie for this perceived betrayal, she started to restrict Sophie's food, which was the reason she'd started to lose so much weight. Sabrina also started calling Sophie terrible names, and claimed she was a whore and a slut for having a relationship with Mark. Of course, shy, sweet Sophie didn't confront Sabrina or tell anyone what was happening to her in the home because she didn't speak English very well and was totally at the family's mercy while she was in London. She did express to her mother at one point that she wanted to go home, but said it was because she was overwhelmed by the duties of the job, but didn't mention any of the abuse Sabrina was inflicting upon her. Her mother encouraged her to stick it out for a while, and when Sophie insisted again that she was ready to go home, Sophie's mother bought her a plane ticket and sent it to her in London. But unfortunately, Sabrina intercepted the ticket, destroyed it, and took Sophie's passport from her.
No.
Yeah. Like, full prisoner.
Wow.
Full prisoner. Yep. Sabrina's delusions about Sophie's romantic relationship with Mark only got deeper and darker over the next month and a half, and she started to accuse Sophie of sneaking Mark into their house while the family slept, and claimed he made it a habit to inject everyone with heroin so that he could then sexually abuse the children without anybody knowing.
I just can't anymore.
I read, there's some transcripts, I'll get to it in a moment, but they recorded a lot of their interrogations of Sophie, and I think that they were claiming that she had heroin-soaked lozenges that she was then, like, dissolving in water and giving to the family before bed. But regardless, they were definitely accusing her of putting heroin in their bodies so that they could fall asleep and not wake up while Mark abused the children.
And Sam's just totally on board, like, going along with this.
Well, we'll get to that, too. So as a punishment for these perceived crimes, Sabrina took away Sophie's phone and only allowed her to call her parents from Sabrina's phone while she was standing right next to her.
No.
She stopped allowing Sophie out of the house unless she was running a specific errand for the family, and this eventually devolved to the point that she wasn't allowed to leave the house at all, and they also stopped paying her.
Oh my God.
Up to that point, Sam had excused himself to take a walk anytime Sabrina launched into her abuses of Sophie, but that reached a turning point and he decided to join Sabrina in beating and abusing their indentured servant. It's reported that they would keep Sophie awake for days at a time, would waterboard her in their bathtub, and would strike her with electrical cords and other objects. They also decided it would be a good idea to capture some of their torture and interrogations on camera. And so over the last 12 days of Sophie's life, they made several recordings of the couple interrogating Sophie and the awful things she was forced to endure.
I just can't even. This is awful.
It's fucking awful. Quote, Coutier recorded some of these sessions in which she played, quote, hard cop to Madhuni's, quote, soft cop on her phone. No, it's a horror show. It's like so fucking poor Sophie. I cannot begin to imagine.
I mean, this is a horror movie. This is what horror movies are made of.
Right. Yes.
The sweet French, you know, like,
yeah,
nanny going to London.
Yeah.
This is a horror movie.
And she's right in the middle of London, like in a townhome, in an upscale neighborhood, being tormented, tortured, abused, psychologically tortured. I mean, all of it.
While there are two children in the house.
Yes. Yeah. And she's trying to care for them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So they eventually planned to hand over the footage to police as, quote, evidence of the nanny's guilt.
No.
Yes. So that's why they were recording it. In the recordings, Sam and Sabrina are basically yelling back and forth, and it seems completely delusional as they push Sophie to admit to their bizarre allegations. I mean, it's almost incomprehensible, the things that they're saying back and forth to each other. So much that I didn't include any of the transcript in this because it's just bizarre.
Yeah.
Sophie barely speaks on the transcripts, and when she does, it's just to reiterate that anything she said at any point, she just said because she was scared. She repeated multiple times that she just wanted to go home, but Sabrina continued to insist that if she left, she'd be arrested and would spend 40 years in prison. The most disturbing aspect of the transcripts, in my opinion, is that Sabrina and Sam seem to truly believe their delusion that Sophie was carrying on with Mark and sneaking into their home to abuse the children. They are clearly so far gone, and I cannot imagine Sophie's confusion and terror as they relentlessly interrogated and tortured her. There's also a photo taken of Sophie just a couple of days before her murder, and she is basically a skeleton and looks totally broken and exhausted.
I just can't believe it.
I know. I really can't either. On September 18th, 2017, Sabrina and Sam interrogated Sophie one last time, and during the interrogation, Sabrina repeated several times that if Sophie confessed to letting Mark in their home, she'd be free to go home to France. So Sophie confessed. Afterward, instead of letting broken, scared, sweet Sophie go home to her family, they dragged her into their bathtub and drowned her. They then packed her body into a suitcase and hid it in their shed for 2 days. Mm-hmm. On September 20th, multiple people called 999 to report that intense and extremely foul-smelling clouds of smoke were pouring out of the backyard of Sabrina and Sam's residence. The fire department were dispatched, and when Sam greeted them at the front door, he claimed that they were simply cooking some chicken on the grill in the backyard, and there was no cause for concern. The fire department were like, that's all well and good, but you clearly don't know how to grill chicken, so we need to come back there and make sure it's been properly extinguished because you are too close to your neighbors to be firebombing poultry in your backyard.
That's not funny. I am not laughing because it's funny. It's horrendous. This is horrendous.
Yes. Sadie, and you, I'll post pictures of the complex. I mean, these are fucking townhomes. These are tiny, like, in London. You know, with those like little tiny backyards,
townhomes. Yes, I can picture it. Yes,
in London.
Yes, like a hallway, basically, of a yard.
Yes, exactly. Yes. At best. So in the yard, firefighters did find a portable grill with chicken cooking on it.
Oh my God. Like it was going to cover up the smell.
Sadie, can you believe they were like, it's fine. And this will totally throw them off. Like we'll just.
Oh my God.
Directly next to the grill, there was a raging bonfire. They proceeded to extinguish the giant fire burning in the tiny yard, and in the process of doing so, uncovered what appeared to be human fingers and other body parts.
Oh, I have so many chills. I hate the story.
It's so far beyond. Sam claimed they'd tried to cook up an entire sheep, and it had gone awry.
A sheep?
Yes. They were like, what is this exactly? And they're like, sheep. But we got out of control. And the firefighters were like, why was the sheep wearing human clothing and jewelry?
Mm-hmm. With
he fingers. Actually said bollocks. That's what he said. I read an interview with him and he said bollocks. Mm-hmm. So the fire department contacted the police department and police swarmed the residence and blocked off the entire neighborhood. Sophie's body had been so badly damaged that it took authorities 2 weeks to identify her conclusively or determine her cause of death. They were able to determine that at the time of her death, she had a fractured jaw, 5 fractured ribs, and a fractured sternum, and her sternum had been fractured for up to 3 days. Do you know how fucking hard it is to break a sternum and how painful it is to have a broken sternum?
You know, this whole time I was thinking clavicle, but you mean sternum that goes over your...
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no. I, yeah. No, 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 no.
Her injuries were so extensive, they compared them to injuries she would have sustained if she'd been in a catastrophic car accident.
Mm-hmm.
They also found a note that Sophie had written and hidden that said, quote, "Why me? I need help to stop them." Sam and Sabrina were arrested for Sophie's murder, and at first they claimed she died as a result of an accident. They'd admitted that they'd been interrogating her about her relationship with Mark. So they were like, yeah, we did believe that she was having a relationship with a man who lives in Los Angeles and has for 3 years. And they admitted that they dunked her head underwater a few times. And eventually, Sam said that he got so frustrated that Sophie wouldn't admit what was happening that he'd punched her in the head, which caused her to slip under the water and whoop, she drowned.
Mm-hmm. Oops, what an accident.
Yeah. He claims he did try to revive her, but it was too late.
Mm-hmm.
He later retracted that statement and said that he'd actually been asleep when Sophie was murdered, and Sabrina was responsible for the entire thing. He said he woke up and saw Sophie unresponsive in the bathtub and tried to revive her, but she was gone. On the flip side, Sabrina blamed Sam for Sophie's murder and said she had absolutely nothing to do with any of it the entire time, despite the fact that police already had her phone that was chocked full of recordings of she and Sam interrogating and torturing Sophie. Sabrina was evaluated by a psychiatrist and diagnosed with depression and borderline personality disorder, but was not found to be criminally insane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
try again. Go back and do that again.
Seriously.
Wow.
If she's not, I don't know who is.
Yeah.
Sam was also evaluated and wasn't diagnosed with a single thing. The press does call this one a folle du, and any excuse to say folle du I will take, but you know, essentially just madness between two people.
Yes.
I mean, I think Sabrina was completely mad and Sam just went along for the ride because he was obsessed with her. It's like stating the obvious here, but.
Well, and he also was abused by her. You know, like, not that he was necessarily a victim, but he was a victim of her abuse.
Yeah, and I don't think
probably Sam... was just like, okay, fine, like, I'll do this too then.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. She's like, well, I'm going to leave you if you don't get on board. And then, so he just had to engage in the delusion to keep his abusive girlfriend around. And yeah, I don't think that Sam likely would have committed murder if he hadn't met Sabrina.
Right.
So the couple went to trial in May of 2018, and they mutually admitted to having tried to dispose of Sophie's body, because of course they did, because they got caught doing that part.
Right.
They did continue to blame each other for her actual murder, but the evidence that they'd both participated in her torture and murder was so overwhelming. And so after a 2-month trial, they were both found guilty of Sophie's murder.
Mm.
Sabrina wrote a letter to Sophie and her family, which she read at sentencing, and I'm going to read it to you now, so you have to feel as mad as I felt after reading it.
I don't think I can do it.
Sorry, dear listeners.
I can do it.
Yeah, I have to. I mean, I know we all get it. I know we all understand what a horrible, horrible person she is, but this is the icing on the fucking cake. The letter said, "Dear Sophie, may peace be with you. First of all, I wish everyone, including Sophie, especially her parents and family who are suffering badly, to know how deeply sorry I am for what happened to Sophie. We shared many good times together, as well as pains, until things went terribly wrong and it ended up in this horrendous tragedy. I think of you every day, and I am shocked and sad that you are not a part of this world anymore. It feels like a horrible dream to me that I wish I could just wake up from. Every day I live with sadness and sorrow. I am suffering every day, thinking of you and what happened to you that dreadful night. I only wish I could turn the clock back so that it never happened and you would still be alive with us today. I will live without hope, and I can't ever imagine being happy again. I can't ever imagine being happy again.
I'm so mad right now.
I struggle every day, and I am very disappointed in myself. Sophie, I wish things could have been different, and I hope that you rest in peace with God. With deepest regret, Sabrina Coutier." poor Sabrina Couturier. Ugh, she's struggling.
Awful for her.
She's so struggling. Really hard for her. Fucking sick.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah,
mm-hmm. It's beyond. Mm-hmm. But it is like the perfect snapshot of her mental state of what a flaming narcissist, psychopath, whatever she is. Like the just yes. Mix it all up, put it all in a pot, and mix it up, and that's Sabrina Couturier.
Mm-hmm.
The judge's response was, quote, "You were both involved in torturing Sophie in the bath in the lead up to her death and making her think that she would drown unless she gave you information you wanted, which was not in her power to give because it did not exist. The suffering and torture you put her through before her death was prolonged and without pity. I do not think you thought for one moment you were acting lawfully. I'm sure you knew the way you interrogated her was unacceptable in the extreme, that it was unlawful to assault her, and that she was in a dreadful state by the time of her death. And in torturing her in the bath was totally and utterly wrong." In the end, both Sabrina Couturier and Osim Adouni were sentenced to life with a minimum of 30 years.
That's not too bad for the UK. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's as bad as it gets. That is the maximum sentence. So
yeah.
There is no punishment that is ever sufficient for what they put her through, but
no.
That, my darlings, is wildly fucked case of the murder.
Oh my god.
Poor Sophie Leonet.
No, that was awful. That was so awful.
I remember hearing about it, and when you see their mugshots, I definitely recognize Sabrina's face from the mugshots. And I remember reading about it briefly, but I had no clue the like depths of the horror and the delusions. Oh my god.
I hope their kids are okay, you know? I mean, they're not, but...
Yep.
Hopefully
they were somewhat shielded from the insanity. And I don't know how old they were, but I'm guessing, like, at least 4, and I have no idea how much older the older one is, but the youngest was at least 4 when she was
born. Oh, yeah.
Yep. So,
right, well,
not much to say about that except fucking there's just not, I don't even know what to say about that one.
No, there's nothing to say. No, I'm so sorry for Sophie's parents and her family and for Sophie. She should have just come to my house and helped me with my kids. And instead she was sent to
a horror house. Absolute fucking horrors. It's so hard to wrap your mind around, and I cannot, my heart just is in shatters for her family, thinking of realizing, like, after the fact what she had been enduring.
Yes.
And I don't know if she was able to talk to her parents, like, right up to the end. I don't know what that timeline was for her, but I think I'm assuming Sabrina probably had her talking to them and just being like, yeah, everything's fine, you know.
Ugh. Right.
And knowing that, well, you know, if you're her mother, you would just fucking fly right on into London and grab her out of there had she had the slightest inclination of what was going on.
Of course. Yeah. You would do whatever you could.
Yep.
But you don't ever expect that to be what's happening.
No.
You know, like, it's hard work. Yeah. Like, yeah, kids are hard. Just keep going. This is what you wanted to do.
Right.
You'll get through it. You'll learn some lessons. It'll be okay.
Yeah.
Not, oh my God, they're torturing her.
They've developed this delusion that she is involved with this woman's ex-boyfriend in Los Angeles. You know, like it's...
Yeah.
You know, you would assume that, okay, well, this woman's being hard on her. You know, maybe she's a little too demanding or something. But that's, you know, that's just part of growing up and having bosses and getting jobs and making your way in the world. Like, a lot of people are hard on people, you know, but Jesus, totally. God. Yeah, it's a lot. And it's hard to believe that things like that actually happen.
Yep.
As I was reading it, as I was writing, you know, researching and writing it, I was like, kept forgetting that it was real, you know?
Right.
It's rare that I cover a story and I'm like, wow, what a wild story. No, this is fucking real. This is real life, you know?
Like, she really went through that. That was really real. And I can't.
Yeah. It's like, is it Sophie Likens? Is that her name too? The woman, the girl who was tortured by her aunt. Yeah, that's what it reminded me of. Like, it's... Ugh. Anyway, so peace and fucking love and strength to her family and anyone who knew her and loved her and her and
the seriously
children. But should we all take a drink of water?
I am going to right now. Your drink with me, everyone.
Everyone hydrate, and then we'll do name time, and we can
seriously.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. There is no easy way to transition out of that one. So I think we just go for it.
Right? Okay. Yes. Let's do name time. You guys, it's name time.
It's name time.
Okay. Once again, I don't know if I will be able to get through the entire list that even from... breaking up the list last week, I might have to continue to break up the list this week because this shit's long. But yeah, I love
let me
it.
Start with my found name from yesterday.
Great.
Yeah, I went to Carmel, Indiana, which is very fancy.
It's very rich.
And bought a couch, a leather sofa and recliner from these very rich people. Mm-hmm. And I was packing it in the U-Haul or whatever, and when I was taking it out, I could see the label on the couch. And it was like has a stag on it.
Yeah, it does.
And
rich people have stag leather couches.
It was like Dick Idol collection. So it turns out Dick Idol is some like country guy. I don't know what he does exactly, but he helped design this furniture. Dick Idol.
I'm very familiar with what Dick Idol does.
Aren't we all? Oh, God.
Well, second only to Dick Idol is the gastrointestinal doctor in Texas, whose name is Dr. Dudum Pooty. Is too good. The world is too good.
It's too bad. It's too bad and too good. It all. It's all
perfect. That is perfect. That is perfection. Like, you were born with the last name Dudum Pooty, and you knew what you had to do, and you fucking did it.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. There is okay. This person is like definitely getting into Harvard. Like how should we name somebody to get them into Harvard? Eli Titus Conrad Bosk.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
How about Rolo L. Quarles? That's just fun to say, man.
Rolo
L. Quarles.
Quarles. Wow.
Quarles. Quarles.
Yeah, Rolo is an amazing name.
It really is. Pooh Hines. Crystal England.
Oh.
R.I.P. Queen. R.I.P. the Queen, speaking of which.
Oh, yeah. How's everybody doing with that?
Yeah, okay. Don't give a fuck. Yeah, I mean, R.I.P., but
somewhere
also.
Somewhere in between. Right.
Yeah. Betsy Honey. Dickie Doo. That feels Southern to me. That smacks of the South.
Yes, it does.
How about this fucking remarkable name? Amy Shaftmaster. Yep. She's dominating some markets right now.
Hopefully she's going to start making leather couches alongside Dick Idol.
It's 100% her destiny. Rebecca Love. There's Sub. Maybe this was, I don't know if it was supposed to be Stub Toe Lane. It came through as Sub Toe Lane either way. Sub Toe Lane or Stub
or
Toe
Stub
Lane.
Toe Lane.
I love them. Any road with toe in the name. I feel like this one's come through before, but that's probably just because it's too good. Dr. Richard Thing, Thying.
I like that.
Yep. Somebody knows a teacher in a school named William Hare, and his brother's name is Richard Hare. Somebody in New Zealand has a friend named Wit Matters. Wit and his wife have a teenage son, Wit Matters Jr., and they call him Half Wit.
Oh, that's so cute.
Someone said, one of my very best emo friends from high school is Carl Match. Carl married his perfect match. Her name is Carla. Carl and Carla Match.
That's so cute.
Oh my God. Okay, a couple more. Grandfather was a vicar at a church in the UK, and there were two women who worked at the church doing the wedding flowers and the Sunday school and whatnot, and they were called Sue Dyke and Mary Wiggly.
So cute.
They decided that they needed emails, and their emails were dykechurch@hotmail.com and wigglychurch@hotmail.com. Oh my God. Okay, two more. There's a bariatric surgery group in town, and the doctors who owned it were Doctors French and Fry.
Oh.
And there's an English plumber and businessman named Thomas Crapper, and he held three toilet patents. Yeah. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And that, darling people, that's it for this week.
That's name time.
I think that's the most perfect place to end. Thomas Crapper and his three toilet patents. Oh, my God. Man. Thank you, guys. Keep them coming. Send us some more every time, please.
Every time. Do it now. Or else.
Don't hold back. Why are you holding back? What is the point in that? Just let it out. God.
Well, let's do a couple shouty outies.
Fuck yeah, we should shout some outs. Get ready.
While you're getting ready, I'll tell little listeners about, I was driving with my kids past a cemetery, and the oldest one noticed that there were some like cross-country joggers jogging around the cemetery, and he's like, oh yeah, that'd be a good place to do some jogging, you know, like do some races there. And then my four-year-old, like shitty as can be, said, yeah, or like a really good place to find some coffins.
Like a kid, I swear to God.
Dark. Just angelic, like, you know, blonde, big blue eyes. Yeah. Yeah, this is where you find coffins. Like, you're just so such a little shithead in the best way.
He's the best. We were Indianapolis in a horse and carriage, like a pumpkin style coach, you know, like a Cinderella coach, clopping by and said, dude, giddy up. He's so funny.
It really is. Oh, you know who else is funny?
I would love to know who's funny. Lay them on me.
Those lovely people who give us money every month for extra episodes.
Yeah, as little as $5 a month. Yes. Get over there, pay for it. And I will reiterate, if you want to listen to main feed episodes without ads, we have a $1 option on Patreon that gives you just the main feed episodes, but they will be sans ads. So do that if you want that.
Do it if you must. We appreciate it either way. thank you so much to KCM.
Oh, I forgot what I was doing, and now I can remember that I'm talking about Casey and how she is a moving, and she's moving, and she's moving, and she's grooving, and she's sitting on the top of the mountain, and she's looking down, and she's looking around, and she says, you know what I see today? I see my future, and it's very beautiful, and it's full of things like prosperity, happiness, love, and companionship, and me lifting up everyone around me with my glorious nature and my beautiful personality.
Yes.
Yes. It's like the worst High School Musical in 45 seconds.
I'm so into it. I loved it.
Have you seen the TikToks where people do impersonations of high school actors or just actors and theater actors entering scenes or leaving scenes? I could watch it for like,
yes,
like coming in with a little punch.
I can picture it.
Like,
yes,
slapping their fist in their hand and like looking around and then like purpose. A little bit of a
yes,
side, like, oh, I'm falling down. No, I caught myself. I'm leaving. Oh, God. That's...
Please, can one of my kids be in...
No,
place.
Sadie.
Please.
That is where I draw the line. I can't.
Ugh, you'd love it.
Since we already have two actors in the family. I'm full up on theater actors. I love them so much, but man, there's a lot of gesticulating. There's a lot of wide eyes coming at you. They had a wedding with a, what do they call it? Not a carnival, you know, like everybody performed. It was like an open mic, but with the fancier, oh my God. Anyway, lots of gestures, lots of comedia masks. Yeah. I'm good.
Speaking of.
It was amazing. It was fucking amazing. I mean, it was delightful as hell, but I'm good. We're met our quota.
Thank you so much to Allie. Hey.
Allie. Aloha, she said to the bad vibes in her life, and they went out and she fooled up with all the good things she has ever wanted. And then the good things came in and she brought them in and she kept them in, and now she's unstoppable. Since she said aloha to the bad things and aloha also to the good things, because aloha means hello and goodbye and also maybe a couple other things that I'm not aware of. And she's happy now and she will be happy forever, and that's what she deserves. Does aloha mean? I almost mixed it up with shalom. I know
yeah,
shalom Bible also means will you live in peace. Thanks to Vacation Bible School, I know that.
Right.
Let's see what aloha means. Love, affection, peace, compassion, mercy, simple greeting. Okay. Whew.
Means so many things.
Yeah. Let's do one more.
Okay.
One more.
One more. Thank you so much to Jennifer H.
Jennifer, hi. She said, hey, as she walked through the door, and I gave her a high five, and then she said, what are we up to? And I said, look, listen, Jennifer, I think we should huddle around with our arms around each other and our foreheads face to face, and we should think of how to stop all this nonsense around us. And she said, I know how, I know exactly how. And I said, tell me, I'm really dying to know. And she said, follow me. And then she walked around, and all around she had like a Care Bear coming out of her chest, and then she knocked down the baddies and she knocked down the judgies and she knocked down the shitties and she knocked down the uggies and she knocked down the farties and she knocked down the other shitties. And then we turned around and around, and the camera panned around us in a circle, and we were suddenly surrounded by all of the good in the world. Good job, Jennifer.
Yeah.
Good job on that.
Did it.
Ooh.
Oh, man. We are just so grateful to have you all. That is the truth.
100% the truth. We couldn't do this without you. Quite literally, we love you so much and we appreciate you. And also, my favorite thing, I think I've mentioned this before, is seeing the Patreon conversations in the feed over there.
Yes.
Y'all are super active. They had chatting, supporting each other, talking about vulnerable things, giving us encouragement. It's a wonderful community. And if you want to be a part of it, I highly encourage it. Those are your people. Yep. Get over there. Enjoy it.
100%.
And also, if you want to spend more time with us, you can find us on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at They Will Kill. You can go to our website, theywillkill.com, and you can always email us at theywillkillpodcast@gmail.com.
Rate, review, subscribe, please.
Yes, we would love it if you did it. Just imagine it's like a love letter to us, and then write it down and send it, and we will get it, and it will make us so fucking happy.
Thank you. Thank you, AJ Bergans, for your music.
Thank you so much for your music.
And remember,
graveyards are great places to find coffins if you need them.
The same thing.
Yeah. You can take a jog or you can find a coffin. I question the legality of finding a coffin, quote unquote, finding a coffin, but that is not for me to advise you on. That is for you to discover on your own.
Yeah. He also is like, so is it just full of bones over there?
Like, yes, yeah, actually.
Pretty full of bones.
Pretty fucked up thing to think about, kid, but
yeah, par for the course.
Now that I'm thinking about it. All right, you guys, we love you so much. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your support. Yep. And we'll see you real soon.
We will see you so soon. Goodbye.
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 'm journalist Carolyn Osorio, and I invite you to join me and my co-host, Brandon Morgan, on our podcast, Criminal Mischief. From law enforcement officers seeking justice to victims' families seeking answers, every week there's a new case and a new victim whose story deserves to be told. New episodes of Criminal Mischief drop every Tuesday.